ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. బిఫోర్ స్టార్టింగ్ ది నెక్స్ట్ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ వెబినార్స్ ఆన్ వివేక చూడామణి, ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు ఆఫర్ మై సాష్టాంగ నమస్కారంస్ at the lotus feet of my guru jagadguru shri bharati teertha mahaswami of sri sharada peetham shringeri and also to the paramacharya of sri kanji kamakoti peetham swami chinmayananda swami dayananda swami paramarthananda without whose lectures and writings I would not have been able to give these webinars today. So from today onwards, on our Tuesday webinars, they are going to be devoted to the next series of discussions on another work of Adi Shankaracharya known as Viveka Chudamani. As was mentioned during the introductory sessions of the Tattva Bodha webinars, Adi Shankaracharya's works can be broadly classified into three categories. The first category is called the Bhashya Granthas. Bhashya means commentaries. The Acharya has written commentaries on the Prasthana Traya, namely the Upanishads, the Brahma Sutras and the Bhagavad Gita. And the second category could be classified as Stotra Granthas, that is hymns or meditation verses in praise of various devatas. For example, Ganesha Pancharatnam, Meenakshi Pancharatnam and so on. And the third set of Granthas are called Prakarana Granthas, which give the fundamental concepts of Vedanta, such as Tattva Bodha, Atma Bodha, Viveka Chudamani, all these works. And for Viveka Chudamani webinars, any book that one might have is okay to follow with me when I read the shlokas. However, there could be some differences in some places, and I will be following the text as given by the Samatha books, volume 3. This is the complete works of Adi Shankara in several volumes, and the volume 3 gives the Viveka Chudamani, and I will be following the shloka order in as given in that book. And before going to the actual text, we need to look at some important information. One of the acharyas of Sringeri Sharada Peetham, Jagadguru Sri Chandrasekhara Bharati Mahaswamiji, he has written an elaborate commentary on Viveka Chudamani, and I will be using the lectures and other texts, lectures given by Swami Paramarthananda and other acharyas, as the primary source of these webinar discussions, which are essentially based on the Sringeri Jagadguru's Sri Chandrasekhara Bharati's commentary on Viveka Chudamani. And primarily, there are three main sources of Vedantic teaching, and they are known as the Prasthana Traya. As mentioned earlier, Prasthanam means actually it means a path. But here we can take it as a main source, the main source as the source for Vedanta. And Prasthanatraya means the three main sources of the Vedantic teaching. And the first and the main one in the three sources is the Upanishads. They are called Shruti Prasthana. And the second one is Bhagavad Gita, and that is called Smriti Prasthana. And the third one is the Brahma Sutras, which is called Nyaya Prasthana. And of these three, the Shruti Prasthana, namely the Upanishads, they are considered the main source, since the Upanishads are the revelation from the Lord himself as part of the Vedas themselves. That is why the Upanishads are called Vedanta, meaning the final portion of the Vedas, revealed by the Lord through our sages. And so the Shruti Prasthana, it is apaurusheya. Apaurusheya means not of a human origin. Whereas the Smriti Prasthana and the Nyaya Prasthana, they both are Paurusheya Prasthanas of human origin only. Even though the Bhagavad Gita has been taught by the Lord himself to Arjuna, it is compiled and given to us by Vedavyasa, Vyasacharya. So it is considered as a Paurusheya Prasthana only. And in this Bhagavad Gita, the original Vedantic teaching is very nicely given with lot of practical aspects of life with several preparatory sadhanas to enable a person to follow the Jnana Marga. They are given, which we do not find in the Upanishads as much. That is why at the end of every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says, Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. That is how it is finished at the end of each chapter. So Gita, Bhagavad Gita, not only contains Brahma Vidya, the knowledge about the self, but also it's considered a Yoga Shastra, which means it has lot of preparatory disciplines for a person to get purity of mind, chitta shuddhi, oneness of the mind, chitta ekagrata, so that the person can prepare oneself to follow the jnana marga to gain moksha ultimately. And the Nyaya Prasthana, namely the Brahma Sutras, that is also given by Veda Vyasa only, Vyasacharya, and so it is also called a Paurusheya Prasthana only. And this gives the logical support to the prasthanam, not logical proof. We have to be very careful between logical proof and logical support. What Vedanta teaches can never be logically proved, because the subject matter of Vedanta is beyond the realms of logic. Actually, we saw in Kathopanishad, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. We went through elaborate discussion of these verses during Kathopanishad lectures. It is beyond logic, because logic is based on perceptual data. Data based on perception. Whereas consciousness or Brahman is never available for perception. So we can never do any experiment on Brahman. Then we may ask the question, why at all logic? It is only to support the teaching, because the intellect, it wants to gather the teaching only in a particular format. Our intellect always, it appeals to the intellect to receive the teaching in a particular format. Logic only presents a particular format to accommodate the Vedantic teaching, not to prove the Vedantic teaching. In Sanskrit, one is called the proving logic, that is called nischayaka yuktihi, or proving logic, and the supporting logic is called sambhavana yuktihi. So nischayaka yuktihi, the proving logic, and sambhavana yuktihi, the supporting logic. And all the reasonings in Vedanta are only of the second type, sambhavana yukti only, supporting logic only. So we have got the Prasthana Traya, for which many Acharyas, including Adi Shankaracharya, have given elaborate commentaries, even though these three books are the main sources of Vedanta. They do not present the teachings of Vedanta in a very systematic manner, like step by step for people to follow. So they are not explicit, but they are all implicitly strewn all over the Prasthana Traya. So many Acharyas, they wrote independent works giving the very same teaching as given in these three Prasthanas in a very systematic manner. And all those independent works of Acharyas, they are known as Prakarana Granthas or Vedantic treatises, which present the Vedantic teaching very systematically, so that common people like us will be able to follow them. We have lot of Prakarana Granthas. Some are very advanced, in which topics from the Brahma Sutras, which is a Nyaya Prasthana, they will be discussed in them more, which also contain refutation of other types of philosophies also. So they are all very elaborate prasthanas. Whereas some other fundamental Prakarana Granthas are there, they borrow from the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita than the Brahma Sutras. So the Brahma Sutra based texts, they are going to be very advanced texts, and they are given a separate name called Siddhi Granthas. Highly technical, very logical. And to study those texts, the Siddhi Granthas, one should be proficient in Tarka Shastra, Mimamsa Shastra, Vyakarana, and all other branches of sciences also. Tattva Bodha, for example, that we did first actually as part of our Vedantic series, is one of the simple and beautiful Prakarana Granthas. It's a very simple one, very friendly. And Viveka Chudamani is also another primary Prakarana Grantha, which presents that Tattva Bodha wisdom in a magnified manner. So a huge magnification is offered, is provided to understand what is already given in Tattva Bodha here. So a magnified Tattva Bodha, we can call it, is Viveka Chudamani. For example, if you take Tattva Bodha, the three bodies, the Stula Shariram, the grass body, the Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body, the Karana Shariram, the causal body, they are all given in a very small nutshell, maybe in a half a page kind of thing. Whereas in Viveka Chudamani, they are very, very elaborately discussed. Similarly, the Pancha Koshas, the Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, Anandamaya Kosha, all of them also are elaborately treated here. The Atma Swarupam, the nature of the self, very elaborately discussed. And Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, the oneness of the Jivatma and Paramatma, also given very elaborately. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, Jivan Mukti, they are all elaborately discussed here in Viveka Chudamani, even though they were all presented in a nutshell in Tattva Bodha. So this is like a magnified version of Tattva Bodha, if you may call. So Tattva Bodha magnified is Viveka Chudamani. And there are many Prakarana Granthas are there with respect to the same ideas of Vedanta. So Vedanta Sara, I will just outline a few of them, just only mention a few of them. Vedanta Sara, Panchadashi, Vasudeva Mananam, Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangrahaha. They are all some of the Prakarana Granthas, Atma Bodha. They are all some of the other Prakarana Granthas. And the beauty of all these Granthas is that they present the teaching very systematically, step by step, so that the reader, with the help of a teacher, will be able to understand them and will be able to relate to them very significantly, very conveniently. Whereas some others, like the Atma Bodha, they do not give them actually very systematically. For example, the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, the fourfold qualifications for somebody to follow the Jnana Marga, that is not given that systematically in Atma Bodha. It was taken for granted perhaps. So it presents only other things. But Atma Bodha is a beautiful text because all important ideas are given with very important, significant examples. Atma Bodha is very well known for its example on every important concept of Vedanta. But there also the presentation is not that systematic. So after Tattva Bodha, Viveka Chudamani only presents in a very systematic manner the concepts of Vedanta. And these Prakarana Granthas also, they are in two formats generally. Some of them are in the form of prose format, and some others are in shloka format or poetry format. For example, Tattva Bodha is in prose form, whereas Aparoksha Anubhuti, that is in the poetry form. Viveka Chudamani happens to be in the poetry form also, whereas Vedanta Sara is in the prose form. So some of them are in prose, some of them are in poetry, and the significant thing with Viveka Chudamani is it contains the various shlokas set to different meters. Whereas in Aparoksha Anubhuti, all the verses are the same meter only. So in Viveka Chudamani, we have long verses, we have short verses, and they are very enjoyable to chant. And when they are so enjoyable to chant and read, they also are likely to get memorized easily also. So this Viveka Chudamani, as I mentioned earlier, is attributed to Adi Shankaracharya, even though there is some amount of differences among some other acharyas that it is not by Adi Shankaracharya, but majority of them, they accept that it is from Adi Shankaracharya. It is a very big work consisting of about 580 and odd shlokas. So this is going to be a long drawn webinar. Without our cancellation of webinars and all, if we take, we are going to take several of them. So all those who have signed up, I have seen the list, it has gone well over 250 or so, 230 some number. So all those who have signed up, I hope they will be able to continue to complete this entire the webinars. But as a convenience, we are posting these webinars are also in our website also. But listening directly always has a better benefit. So it's a big work. And as I told, the commentaries on this, they are some commentaries are there, significant one being the one from the Sringeri Shankaracharya Jagadguru Sri Chandrasekhara Bharati Mahaswamiji. And actually Swamiji says that if one wants to really learn Sanskrit through commentaries, then he would recommend this commentary, because Sanskrit is also very nice in this commentary by the Sringeri Acharya. Each compound word is so beautifully split. If one wants to learn samasas, for example, samasa, you know, we dealt with actually as part of my Gita lectures, I gave a brief outline about the various samasas, the Tatpurusha samasa, the Bahuvrihi samasa, the Dvandva samasa, all, they are all compound words. I gave some brief description there. But how the compound words are formed in Sanskrit, they are all, the beautiful hints are given in this particular work, the commentary by the Sringeri Acharya. And the commentary used by Swamiji, Swami Paramarthananda, other Acharyas, they all follow the Shankaradi Acharya's commentary only. There may be some numbering differences. For example, depending on whatever text you may have, there may be some numbering differences and reading differences also. And as I mentioned to you, I will be using the Samatha Books publication for my source of reading. And whenever there is a difference, please note the differences so that we will be all on the same page. And now let us look at the name Viveka Chudamani. Why should the Adi Acharya call this work as Viveka Chudamani? The word Viveka, it has got three meanings in Sanskrit. The first meaning being the power of discrimination, or the faculty of discrimination, which every human being enjoys. This is called the Viveka Shakti, the ability to discriminate. And the second meaning is the process of discrimination in which we are operating the Shakti, the power. The ability is there all the time with us, but the process is not there all the time. For example, when we travel, if we have to just follow the direct road, we will be just following. But if we have to take the road that is on turning right or left, if a thing has to be done, at that time we have to use this power of discrimination. So the operation process, that vyaparaha, that kriya, that is called also vivekaha. So viveka shakti is the first meaning. So here the viveka kriya is also called vivekaha. And the third meaning is the knowledge that is born out of this discrimination by the operation of the Viveka Shakti. We derive this knowledge, and that knowledge also is called Viveka. So in Sanskrit, we can differentiate it by using another term called Viveka Jnana. So Viveka Shaktihi, Viveka Kriya, and Viveka Jnana. We all have got Viveka Shakti. Occasionally, perhaps we operate Viveka Kriya, And the result of that, we get Viveka Jnana. That is what the term Viveka that denotes. So in English, we can say it as discriminative faculty, discriminative process, and discriminative knowledge. And of these three, which meaning should we take when we say Viveka Chudamani? In Viveka Chudamani, the term Viveka would denote what meaning? We have to understand that. This title, we should take the second and third meaning. The text contains actually two things. One, there is a process of discrimination. And at the end of the text, we get the consequential knowledge of discrimination. And again, the discrimination, the word is commonly used in the world as a negative sense actually. When we say discrimination in practical life, it is generally used in a negative sense. In the sense of, like to say, partiality, racial discrimination, gender discrimination, age discrimination. So in most of these usages, it has a negative virtue. But when we use the same word in Vedanta, we use it in a positive sense of discerning power. It's not used in the negative sense, in the positive sense of discerning power, with which we do not get confused, we do not mix up things, but we gain clarity of vision. And when we say discrimination, it is between what and what? That will be the next question. When we say discrimination, between what and what? It has to be constantly used to choose between various choices. Here we say it is the discrimination between truth and falsehood, reality and unreality, sat and asat. That is the discrimination we are talking about here in Vedanta. Because our aim is what? Asatoma sadgamaya. And only when we can do the sat asat viveka, later as a consequence, we will gain mrityorma amritam gamaya. From mortality, we can go to immortality by sat asat viveka, between the real and the unreal, only when we know what it is. As Swamiji says, coffee, tea, viveka, that will not give amritatvam. Coffee may be amritam for some people, but it will not give amritatvam, namely moksha. Therefore, we can say that this work, this Viveka Chudamani, is sad asat Viveka Chudamani, or atma anatma Viveka Chudamani, or tatva atatva Viveka Chudamani, or sharira shariri Viveka Chudamani, or nitya anitya Viveka Chudamani. All of them are synonyms only. All convey the same thing. Some of the terms we are familiar because of our Tattva Bodha lectures or other Vedanta lectures during the Kathopanishad or Bhagavad Gita and other lectures. We have used many of these terms very frequently. But essentially, it is sat asat Viveka, or real unreal Viveka Chudamani. So that is for the term Viveka Chudamani. That is why Tattva Bodha, in Tattva Bodha also, the first question was what? Tattva Viveka Kaha. That was the first question. What is meant by Tattva Viveka? And the answer given was Atma Satyam Tadanyat Sarvam Mityeti. That is the answer that was given there. Atma alone is Satyam. All others are all Mitya. So that ability to discern that. So, the Tattva Viveka alone was elaborately discussed in the entire Tattva Bodha after posing this first question. So, this is the meaning of the first word Viveka in Viveka Chudamani. Now, if you go to the second word is Chudamani. Chuda in Sanskrit means head, the head. Akaranta Strilingaha Chuda Shabdaha. So, it is a Strilingam. So, it is Chuda, the head. And Manihi means a jewel or a gem. It's a jewel. And it is the most important ornament. So Chudamani means what? The crest jewel or the head ornament is Chudamani. And it is the most important ornament because where it is held? It is held at the top of the head. And when it is held at the top of the head, it is going to be seen by everybody because we wear ornaments not only because we are happy, we want many people to see it also. So it is kept at the head of the person, so it can be seen by everybody. So it is very important. So Shankaracharya, he feels that the real ornament of a person is the Vedantic virtue. That is why he termed it as Chudamani. So Viveka is an ornament, Vairagya is an ornament, Sashama, Dama, Uparamati, Tiksha, Shraddha, they are also ornaments. Among all these virtues as ornaments, for a Vedantic seeker, the Viveka ornament, the discriminative power, the Viveka Shakti, that ornament alone stands out. In fact, the Vedic life itself begins with Viveka only. Not just Vedanta alone, the Vedic life itself begins with Viveka only. Even before coming to Vedanta, the person should know how to lead a life of Dharma. And for that, he must have the knowledge of Dharma and Adharma. What is Dharma, what is Adharma, one should know. So even before coming to Vedanta, one should study the Veda Purva Bhaga. The Veda Purva Bhaga, which gives the Karmakanda portion, which gives there the start, where they start is Atato Dharma Jignyasa. Worry about Vedanta later. First know what is Dharma. That is what it is taught there. First lead a virtuous life. That is what the Karmakanda portion, the Purva Bhaga, Veda Purva Bhaga, that teaches. And when a person learns Atato Dharma Jignyasa, they read it twice, Atato Adharma Jignyasa. One should know Dharma, one should also know Adharma. What is Adharma? Dharma has to be known for what? To follow. And Adharma has to be known for what? To completely avoid. We should not go that route at all. We should know what is that route which is so dangerous. We should not go there. So even as a brahmachari, as the person enters into the Gurukula Vasa, what the teacher teaches is what are all actions that can be done and what are the actions that should not be done. The Vidhi and Nisheda, the do's and don'ts. That is what the teacher teaches in the very first lesson. So Viveka is first to be taught. One learns first Dharma, Adharma, Viveka. And later, one goes to Nitya, Anitya, Vastu, Viveka. The eternal and the ephemeral Viveka. So first Dharma, Adharma should be known. And later, what is eternal and what is ephemeral should be known. So Dharma, Adharma, Viveka is Veda Purva. Purva means given in the prior portion of the Vedas, the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. And Nitya, Anitya, Viveka. What is Nityam? What is eternal? What is Anityam? What is ephemeral? That is given in the Vedanta portion. So from Dharma, Adharma, Viveka, one has to go to Nitya, Anitya, Viveka. So Dharma, Adharma, Viveka gives Jnana Yogyata, the eligibility to follow Jnana Marga. It gives Nitya, Anitya, Viveka gives Jnanam. And therefore, Viveka is the most important virtue. That is why the Acharya called it as Viveka Chudamani. To put it in practical terms, being clear about the priorities of life is Viveka. We can lead our life usefully and purposefully only when our priorities of life are clear to us. We know our priorities well because we have to do many things. We have to be taking care of our family. We have a lot of our own personal needs to be taken care of. And every time we have the question of prioritizing. And if we choose it properly, then our life is going to be meaningful, purposeful, smooth. So Shankaracharya aptly titles this work as Viveka Chudamani, the crest jewel of discrimination. So with this background, now we will enter into the text of Viveka Chudamani. We will read first the invocation verse and later the actual text after seeing the meaning of the invocation verse. So those who have the text with you, please follow with me so that we will be able to read the shloka first and then understand the meaning of that. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta
கோச்சரம் தமகோச்சரம் சர்வ வேதாந்த சித்தாந்த கோச்சரம் தமகோச்சரம் கோவிந்தம் பரமானந்தம் சத்குரும் பிரணதோஸ்மியகம் கோவிந்தம் பரமானந்தம் சத்குரும் பிரணதோஸ்மியகம்
I read it twice normally during in-person classes. I read it once and all the students, they repeat it twice and I continue. Because we don't have that opportunity to do it here during our webinars, I myself read it twice so that you will be able to follow the text. So when it is read first time, if for some reason somebody's mind strayed away or did not see it properly, they will have the opportunity to see it when I read it the second time. So the Acharya, the Adi Shankaracharya, he begins the text with an invocation seeking the blessings of his guru. Normally, we might have seen everywhere, the invocation words will be in the form of Ishwara Namaskara. Normally to Mahaganapati or any other Ishta Devata, they will do Namaskara to any form of the God and then only they will start. Whereas here in this work, the Acharya starts with Namaskarams to his Guru to show that he does not see any difference between his Guru and the Lord, the Ishwara. So in Shankaracharya's version, in his vision, Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha, Gurureva Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this Guru Namaskara and Ishwara Namaskara are one and the same as far as Adi Shankaracharya is concerned. And he says, Aham Sadgurum Pranataha Asmi. Aham I Pranataha Asmi. Offer my prostrations, Sadgurum, to my Guru. And here the Guru means the teacher of Vedanta. Actually, it's derived from Grinnati, Upadishati Iti Guruhu, derived from the root Gur to teach. So the one who does the Upadesha is a Guru. One who teaches anything for that matter can be called a Guru. But here what type of Guru he is? Sadgurum. He is the teacher of Sat, Sat Brahma, Brahman, Brahman. So, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit, Ekameva Advitiyam. So, the Guru that teaches, that Advitiyam, he is talking about that Guru. So, the word Sad refers to pure existence, the existence principle, Brahman, Chaitanyam. So, Sadguru means the teacher of Brahman. So, Brahma Vidya Gurum Pranataha Asmi. I do Namaskaram to that Guru, he who imparts this knowledge of Brahma Vidya. And then Shankaracharya describes that Guru. What type of Guru he is? Paramanandam. The one who is an embodiment of Ananda. The supreme bliss, the highest Ananda. Who is the embodiment of the highest Ananda, Paramananda. Incidentally, when we have this simple incident point, Swamiji always mentions this. When we write Sadguru in English, how do we write? We write S-A-D Guru. Sadguru could be read as Sad Guru. So if the Guru himself is sad, what will he impart also? He will impart more and more sadness and samsara only. So Shankaracharya does not want to leave people with any such opinion like that perhaps. So he immediately says Paramanandam. Param Sadgurum Paramanandam. He is not a sad Guru, but the embodiment of the highest Ananda, Paramananda. And what is the name of his Guru, Adi Shankaracharya's Guru? Govindam. Adi Shankara's Guru is Govinda Bhagavatpada. His name is Govinda Bhagavatpadacharya. Gaudapadacharya is Shankaracharya's Guru's Guru. Govinda Bhagavatpada's Guru, Acharya, is Gaudapada. He is very well known because of his Mandukya Karika. It is a separate work. I don't know whether we'll be able to see all those in near future. But it's a very extremely nicely written work. Govinda Bhagavad Bhada is not as well known because we don't see any such works by Govinda Bhagavad Bhadacharya himself. If there is any Vedantic work, perhaps that would be very easy to remember. But as the Guru of Adi Shankaracharya, he is also very well known, Govinda Bhagavad Pada. So the Acharya says, I offer my salutations, my namaskarams to my Guru Govinda Bhagavatpada Acharya. And what is the real nature of this Guru? He is not a mere physical body. That is all sheer superficial shell only, the way you see him, the sthula shariram, the grass body. But he is none other than Brahman himself. So the Adi Shankaracharya, he describes his Guru as none other than Brahman himself. Tam, actually if you take the first line, Tam agocharam, that Tam. Tam in the first line, Tam paramatmanam, we should connect it here. Who is none other than the Paramatma. He is not a person born with a date of birth and some date of death, but he is none other than the Paramatma. So Paramatma Swarupam Govinda Bhagavad Padam Aham Pranataham Asmi. And what type of Paramatma? That is described here again. Agocharam. Tam Agocharam. In that Tam Agocharam. Agocharam. Agocharam means not available for any regular instruments of knowledge. That cannot be understood through any regular instruments of cognition. Gocharaha, agocharaha. Gocharaha means an object. And agocharaha means not an object of perception or of inference or scientific experimentation. That is agochara. Therefore, it is beyond all the Paurusheya Pramanas, all the human cognitive effects, all those human cognitive experimentation. It is beyond all of them. So agochara means Paurusheya Pramana Agocharam. Paurusheya Pramana Agocharam, not available for human instruments of knowledge. Why? Because all the regular instruments of knowledge, what they can do? They can collect data from matter only. Because matter alone is available for observation and experimentation. Matter alone. Your consciousness is not available for collecting data. Somebody cannot do experiments on your consciousness. And therefore, you may have varieties of hypotheses about consciousness. Each one might say one thing. There are hypotheses. But you can never arrive at any conclusive idea about consciousness. So, Sarva Paurusheya Pramana Agocharam. Then naturally, it will give us a frustration. Because it is not available for experimentation. It is not available for my sense organs. Not available for science. It is not available for physics. But it is only available to metaphysics. So where physics stops, the meta starts perhaps. And what is meta in Vedanta? He says, Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam. It is not available for Paurusheya Pramana, but it is available for Apaurusheya Pramana. That is the metaphysics. It is an instrument of knowledge. It is available only for only revelation through scriptures, not through experimentation, through scriptures only. So, Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam. Gocharaha again, he refers to the subject matter and Siddhanta refers to the Tatparya. So, Siddhanta Gocharaha means Tatparya Vishayaha. And what do we mean by Tatparya Vishayaha? The essential teaching. Tatparya Vishayaha means the essential teaching of what? Sarva Vedanta, all the Upanishads. Here, Vedanta refers to the Upanishads. So, the essential teaching of all the Upanishads. So, Paramatma is that which is the essential teaching of all the Upanishads. And why do we say that it is the essential teaching of the Upanishads? There are so many teachings in the Upanishads. For example, the Upanishad talks about Annamaya Kosha elaborately. If you take the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmananda Valli, and also later Bhrigu Valli, third chapter, they all talk about Annamaya Kosha. Annadvai praja prajayante ya kascha prativigishritaha ato anne naiva jivanti atai nadapiyantan tapaha. What it says, body grows because of food. Body is sustained by food. And finally, body dissolves back into food. So this is the idea that is given in Taittiriya Upanishad. Suppose somebody asks the question, what is given in Taittiriya Upanishad? A person replies, I have understood one great thing in Taittiriya Upanishad, that is body grows because of food. Do you need Upanishads for this? We don't have to have Upanishads for this at all. So, Annamaya Kosha is not the Tatpariya Vishayaha, is not the essential teaching, but it is Atatpariya. And so, the topic on matter. So, Annamaya Kosha is matter. The Upanishad starts also about Srishti, creation. There also there is no essential thing. It's also not the Tatpariyam. So, we should not study the Upanishad for the sake of either cosmology and try to compare it with present day cosmology and try to prove in the present day scientific knowledge, all that they are one should not do it. That is not the aim of Vedanta. Vedanta does talk about cosmology, all right. It also talks about perception. It talks about so many other things also. But we should not focus on those things and waste our time. They are all only stepping stones. You use them and arrive at consciousness and drop later everything. Once one knows what consciousness is, and then at that time one drops everything else. There is no need to keep cling on to all other things. So they are only stepping stone. For example, if someone asks, what did you understand from Bhagavad Gita? One studied the Bhagavad Gita. They ask, what did you study from Bhagavad Gita? One cannot say, Panchajanyam Rishikeshaha Devadattam Dhananjayaha. I understood that Krishna's conch is Panchajanya. That is also said in the Gita, all right. But it is not the Tatpariya of Gita. But one should say, Kshetrajnyam chapi mam viddhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. That is what he should say. Or karmanya karmaya paschet. These are the shlokas one should think about what is the essential teaching of Bhagavad Gita, not whose conch is what. Similarly, Paramatma is the Tatpariyam. Here is essential teaching. Spirit is the subject and not matter. Matter is not the subject, but spirit is the subject. And the Upanishad is not very particular about discussing matter at all. Why? Because science is there for learning about matter. If not today, they will understand someday that mind also is a matter. Science will advance to understand more about brain, more about psychology. The science will develop and know by itself. Therefore, Vedanta does not want to deal with those topics. But Vedanta wants to deal with the spirit or consciousness, which is not available for science, and science will deal with matter. So let us not use science to study consciousness and not Vedanta to study matter. This is just an incidental point I just want to mention. This is the idea here. So, tam agocharam means what? Not available for perception for science. Vedanta gocharam means vishaya for Vedanta. Vedanta gocharam. One is spiritual science and the other is material science. Do not use one to prove the other. No need. To see fire is hot or cold, one doesn't have to read any Upanishad at all. It is like understanding the forms using the eye and not the ears, because it is not available for perception by the ears. Similarly, eye has got no access to hearing. So Vedanta deals with consciousness, science deals with matter. Let us combine them, mix up, and then let us not get confused. Let us not do all that. So the Acharya, he has given it in the very, very first line itself. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Gocharam Tam Agocharam. And who is that Paramatma? None other than my Guru Govinda Bhagavad Pada. I offer my prostrations, my namaskarams to my Guru, to that Guru. And this is the Mangala Shloka, the invocation verse or the prayer shloka. And now we will start with the first shloka of Viveka Chudamani. Actually, the next six shlokas, they talk about the glory of Brahma Nishta. So, Brahma Nishta Mahatvam. So, we will read the first shloka.
Jantunam narajanma durlabhamataha pumstvam tato viprata. Jantunam narajanma durlabhamataha pumstvam tato viprata. Tasmat vaidiga dharma marga parata vidvat vamasmat param. Tasmat vaidiga dharma marga parata vidvat vamasmat param. ఆత్మానాత్మ వివేచనం స్వనుభవ బ్రహ్మాత్మనా సంస్థితి. ఆత్మానాత్మ వివేచనం స్వనుభవ బ్రహ్మాత్మనా సంస్థితి. ముక్తిర్నో శతకోటి జన్మ సుకృతై పుణ్యైర్వినా లభ్యతే. ముక్తిర్నో శతకోటి జన్మ సుకృతై పుణ్యైర్వినా లభ్యతే.
సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద ఫస్ట్ శ్లోక. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ది ఫాలోయింగ్ ఫోర్ శ్లోకాస్ ది ఆచార్య హీ గ్లోరిఫైస్ ది హ్యూమన్ బర్త్, ద మనుష్య జన్మ. సెకండ్, థర్డ్, ఫోర్త్ అండ్ ద ఫిఫ్త్ శ్లోకాస్ దే గ్లోరిఫై ద మనుష్య జన్మ. హౌ రేర్ అండ్ హౌ ప్రెషియస్ ఇస్ టు గెట్ దిస్ మనుష్య జన్మ, దిస్ హ్యూమన్ బర్త్. బికాస్ అకార్డింగ్ టు శాస్త్రాస్ దర్ ఆర్ 84 lakh డిఫరెంట్ స్పీషీస్ of living beings, not 84 lakh living beings, 84 lakh different species of living beings, and millions of living beings are there in each species. So if among the 84 lakhs, if I should get the manushya species, the chances are 1 in 84 lakhs, and I don't seem to have any choice also, I find myself as a human being in a particular place, and therefore it is very rare. Not only it is very rare, in this janma alone, moksha is possible. If I want to go to moksha, it is possible only in this human janma. Because the other species, they do not have the so-called free will, either to do something or to know something. So they don't have to follow karmakanda portion. For example, for a cow, there is no satyam vada and dharmam chara and all for the cow. Then what is Atma? The cow will not know what is the sthula, sukshma, karana, shariram. Atma is sthula, sukshma, karana, shariram, tetiriktaha, avastatraya, sakshi, all that and all, the cow will not know. So Veda Purva and Veda Anta both request Purushartha. And to use Swami Dayanand Swami's expression, self-consciousness, they both. So leading to self-judgment, self-identity, self-conclusion, all those things are required. So self-confusion also is possible, as Swamiji says, in Manushya Janma, and the clarification also is also possible only in Manushya Janma. So Swamiji gives the example of the dog competition. You know, they use dog for to compete. The dog does not know that it is competing and all that. The owners have trained them in some way, and it just does what it is trained for. For the one dog will come first, another dog will come last, a second and all that. But they don't have jealousy among the dogs or hatred towards the first dog or anything, the one that came first. All these are with whom? Only with the owners. My dog came first, your dog came last. These are for the owners, not for the dogs themselves. The dogs have got just the instinctive ego to conduct their transaction. They eat only a particular type of food and mate with only their own species, all those things. So whatever natural discrimination they need to have only, they have. It does not have any such problem at all. Whereas for the human being, he is rarely endowed with this purusharta or free will, and the chance is very, very rare for one to be born as a human being. And so the Acharya says, if you miss this chance, you don't know when will you get the next chance. The next janma may be a lizard, may be a snake, or it can be a plant or even a mosquito. It could be anything. So do not take human birth for granted. This is Acharya's advice. Actually, in Kathopanishad, it is pointed out that even devas cannot gain knowledge in Devaloka better than human beings. It says, among the 14 lokas, Bhuloka alone is ideal for Atmajnanam. Yata darshe tadatmani, yata swapne tata pitruloke, yatapsu pariva dadrishe tata gandharvaloke. Chaya tapayorivam brahmaloke also. That is what the Acharya, the Kathopanishad says. In Bhuloka also, 85, 84 lakh of species they're all possible. And to get a manushya body is so, so rare. So, jantunam narajanmam durlabham. Then what should I do? If one has, we have to say, study Viveka Chudamani. That's what we should say. That is the essence of the shloka. So even if one is born as a human being, there are so many other conditions also required to gain moksha. There are so many human beings who are more close to the four-legged ones than the human beings themselves. And so Shankaracharya gives a list of things that will make us proud of our human birth and will make us use this birth. So what is the list? He says first, Jantunam Narajanma Durlabam. Jantuhu. Jantuhu refers to the Jivaha. Who is called Jantu? Jayate iti Jantuhu. Jiva is called Jantu because Jiva is born again and again. And what do we really mean by birth? Acquiring a physical body is called birth. And what is the definition of Jiva? Jiva is Stula Shariram, the Sukshma Shariram. Jiva is the Sukshma Shariram, the Karna Shariram and Chaitanya. So Sukshma Shariram plus Karna Shariram plus Chaitanyam, the subtle body plus the causal body plus Chaitanyam, the consciousness. So Chaitanya Sahita Sukshma Karna Shariram, that is called Jiva. And what is its Janma, its birth? Acquiring a physical body, a Stula Shariram, is called birth. And dropping the physical body is called Maranam, death. So acquiring another physical body is called rebirth. And dropping the other physical body is called re-death. So Jantu acquires many bodies. Vasamsi Jirnani Yadavihaya. Among these various births, what is most rare? Acquiring a human body is rare. Narajanma. That is Durlabham. Nara, human, Janma, the birth. That is Durlabham. So Manushya Stula Sharira Praptihi Ativa Durlabham. It is very rare to gain the human grass body, physical body is very rare. And why do you say Manushya Stula Sharira Prapti is superior? Then you say rare. Why you say it is superior? Because Manushya Shariram, in Manushya Shariram only, the Sukshma Shariram can fully express itself. The subtle body can fully express itself only in the human body. Because, for example, behind the elephant body also, there is this Sukshma Shariram. And how many parts that Sukshma Shariram has, subtle body? We have seen this in Tattvabodha. The Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body, consists of the five sense organs, Pancha Jnanendriyani, the five organs of action, Pancha Karmendriyani, the five physiological functions through the Pancha Pranadayaha, five pranas, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, Pancha Pranadayaha. Manas, the mind, and buddhi, 17. All these things together is 17. So the elephant's sukshma shariram also has manas and buddhi, chitta, ahankara. It has all those. But they cannot express because the physical body happens to be an elephant's body. But the very same human subtle sukshma shariram, in the next janma, when it acquires the human physical body, it did not get a new buddhi. It has the same buddhi only. It did not get a new buddhi, but the buddhi is capable of expressing in the Manushya Stula Sharira, in the human body. And therefore, the human body, Manushya Stula Sharira, is glorious. One should be careful here. Stula Sharira does not have buddhi. Understand that. The buddhi belongs to the subtle body, the Sukshma Sharira. So the Manushya Stula Sharira, the grass body of the human being, can express the buddhi which is contained in the subtle body. And among human janmas also, Tata Pumstvam. Pumstvam refers to manliness, courage, independence, especially emotional independence. That is Pumstvam. That's the second in the list Acharya gives. A weak mind always wants to cling on to things like a creeper. Whereas Vedanta talks about the highest stage of sannyasa, in which one does not depend on anything. And in moksha, there is not even dependence on God. No dependence on Ishvara also. There is a total Atmaneva Atmana Tushtaha, as Gita said, Bhagavad Gita. Atmaneva Atmana Tushtaha. So our journey is from world dependence to God dependence to self-dependence
called moksha. That is why it is said, na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyagena kai. Only through tyaga, sannyasa alone, amritatvam is possible, immortality is possible. So, sarva sangha parityagaha is needed to gain moksha, to gain freedom, liberation. So, more than physical strength, mental strength is required. Which a mind has, you know, has got the inner strength in a mind, inner strength. To learn Advaitam, one should have that inner strength, and that is indicated by the word Pumstvam. Actually, in Mundaka Upanishad, it says, Nayamatma Balahinena Labhyaha. So, a weak mind, a sentimental person, an emotional person, who wants to cling on to something or the other, for him, Atma na labhyaha. He cannot know Atma. So, by manly mind, it is not the mind of a man. Manly mind does not mean mind of a man, Pumstvam, but a woman with such a mind also is supposed to have Pumstvam only. So, Veda itself says, Striya Satihi Tavume Pugumsa Ahuhu. So, even strees, ladies, if they have such a mind, Tavume Pugumsa Ahuhu, they are also called manly mind only. And the corollary is what? Even a man having such a clinging mind is called a person with womanly mind. So, Pumstvam is the next rare thing that a person would, you know, is rare. And then on, Tataha Viprata. Viprata means, here refers to the scriptural learning that is still rare. Veda Patena Viprasyat. Actually, there is a shloka. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Karmana Dvija Uchyate, Veda Patena Viprasyate, Brahmano Brahma Vedanath. There is a shloka like that. And it says, everyone by birth is a Shudra only. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Even a Brahmin is only a Shudra at birth in terms of character. And when does he become a Dvijaha, twice born? Karmana Dvija Uchyate, when he takes to the sacred thread ceremony. And when he decides to study the scriptures, then he is born a second time, called Dvijaha, second birth. It is true for all the three Varnas, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. And in the first birth, he has not studied the scriptures. And so the life is not a cultured life, like a Prakrita Purushaha. It's a wild life. And the Dvijaha status that helps him to become a refined person, a Samskrita Purushaha, by following the ritualistic disciplines. So, rebirth from Prakrita Purusha to Samskrita Purusha is denoted by the threading ceremony, by the sacred thread ceremony. And after that, he enters into the Gurukula and learns what is Dharma and what is Adharma. And through the study of scriptures, Veda Patena Viprasyat. So, Dvijaha is promoted to Vipraha, Vipraha a scholar. And when we say Veda Pataha, we don't mean Vedanta Pataha, but Dharma Adharma Shastra Jnana. How to live in this world, how to treat the family, how to treat the family members, the wife, the neighbors, the world, the way of life. You can call it the art of living perhaps. And that is still rarer to be a Vipraha. So, Manushyatvam is rare. Pumstvam is rare, and then Vedic learning become Vipraha is rare. And the next one is Tasmat Vaidika Dharma Marga Paratha. So that is the next one that we will continue in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Yo Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Atmanamastu Narayana.